have two scripture readings this evening. The first is from Leviticus and chapter 12. The second is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. So Leviticus chapter 12 and Luke chapter 2 from verse 21. Leviticus is about holiness. Holiness seen as being set apart for God and being set apart for God. Holiness as consecration, holiness as separation. And in Leviticus chapter 12, we are in the section that deals with holiness as separation. So Leviticus and chapter 12 of our first reading. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity. And she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord, make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who was born a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean." And then Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, from verse 21. This is following on from the account of the birth of our Lord. Luke 2:21. "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord,' and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, 'A pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, for the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.' Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we trust God to bless the reading of his holy word. Our text this evening is found in our second reading, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. His name was called Jesus. We find in Leviticus chapter 12, this chapter that deals with the purification of the woman after childbirth, which points us directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something mysterious about birth, even today, to modern Western scientific people. How much more was it mysterious in the ancient Near East, where science was at a much lower level? They knew less than we do about the processes, but they knew better than we do that the child is from the Lord. That through this mystery of childbirth, God would give to them at last a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And so these rites that surround this mystery, that set it apart as strange and holy, are rites that remind us our Saviour himself was once a child, that God took human flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and men beheld his glory. And as we read this 12th chapter of Leviticus, we must, as Christians, read alongside that section of Luke's Gospel that we read, that it points to one born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under that law, as the Apostle Paul puts it, as he writes to the Galatians. And we must remember this idea of uncleanness is not a moral thing, it's not a physical thing, it's a ceremonial thing, set apart, separated, ceremonial uncleanness. It's not talking about childbirth being a bad thing, quite the reverse, but that the woman is set apart in a way by this mystery. And practically, of course, the new mother having this time when she wasn't allowed to go to worship, when what she could do was quite restricted, gave her time to recover in an era when childbirth was as dangerous as it is in still in many parts of the world, that she needed the time at home to recover. But more, it tells us, points us to Christ. So we see first of all here the birth. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, says Isaiah. Secondly, we see the blood. This is he who came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we see the blessing. The holy child born in Bethlehem brings blessing to the world. Birth, blood, and blessing together. And first we see birth, that mystery of birth, that which is a good thing, a very good thing, a gift from God. The psalmist speaks in the normal way of the scriptures when he says in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." Blessing. Children are a blessing. And we see in the Old Testament those women who sorrowed because they could not have children and sought to have the reproach of childlessness rolled away from them. Perhaps the best known is the mother of Samuel, the mother of Samuel, Hannah. And Hannah was childless. And while her husband loved her very much, yet because he had done a foolish thing and married two wives, perhaps he had married the second because the first was childless. That would be quite natural in that society, when having no children was a reproach. And more than that, if a man had no children, he had no one to leave his inheritance to. And her rival, Hannah's rival, provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. So good was having children seen that not having children led this woman to pray in bitterness and anguish. And we see again and again how God gave in the Old Testament. And in the New, in the person of John the Baptist, he gave a child to a childless couple. Blessing in birth. Birth is good. A child is good. Children are a gift of God, but also it is mysterious. There is that mystery in birth. And in the Old Testament, men and women particularly saw the mystery because of what had been said in Genesis chapter 3, reading from verse 15. God speaking to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." There is the mystery of the promise that there would be one, the seed of the woman, who would bruise the serpent's head, but also the mystery of the pain that came in childbirth. Pain and promise together. Pain, yes, but beyond it, the promise of one who redeems his people, one who would defeat the devil. Birth. Mysterious thing. And these ceremonies in Leviticus chapter 12, they emphasize that mysterious nature. The sacredness, we might say, we must say, of the birth of children. The sacredness is a terrible thing to think of, there being such a thing as unwanted children. In ancient Israel, all these words of the Lord emphasize there were to be no unwanted children. It's notable, in fact, some of the early Christians living in a pagan society where there were, as there always are in pagan societies, unwanted children, would go and rescue those infants who were abandoned by their parents, because they saw children as a gift from God. Birth, the mystery of birth, and the mystery of the birth of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And there was, in terms of the actual birth of the Lord Jesus, nothing unusual. It was a normal birth. Some of the Gnostic Gospels, so-called, the legends, talk about there being a bright light and suddenly the child is there without any actual birthing. No, Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus. That emphasis is there in the section we read from Luke chapter 2. He came into the world from his mother's womb, the same way that any ordinary child does. It was a natural birth. Lo, he abhors not the virgin's wombs, wrote the hymn writer long ago. He was born. Christ Jesus was born. Christ the Saviour was born. Born in a normal way and yet conceived in a supernatural way. He had no human father. The Virgin conceived. The Virgin was with child and gave birth. And Christ came into the world, born of a woman. And again, these rituals surrounding the birth emphasize that great fact that the Apostle Paul tells us, born under the law. Born under the law. We see this when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, circumcised the 8th day, the covenant sign put upon him. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, under the law, under the law. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, which of course further tells us that Joseph was not a rich man, because it was the poor, it was for the poor alone that this provision was made. If she is not able, not if she is not willing, if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Not able. He humbled himself when he came into the world. Yes, he was born. Christ was born of the line of David. But the line of David in an impoverished state. Yes, he was born of royal blood, but royal blood impoverished, down to the level of the poorest of the people. He humbled himself, and being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was born that he might die, and yet not born subject to death. He had not sinned, but he gave up his life. He was born to die. The shadow of the cross falls across the manger of Bethlehem. The shadow of the cross is always there, for he came born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, to yield his life as a ransom for sin, and open the life gate that we might go in. God with us. God for us. God made man. Birth. Christ the Saviour is born. And we think upon the sacred humanity. So we come to our second point, which is blood. Blood. This is he who came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. Birth combines in itself, in some sense, life and death. Death in childbirth was not at all uncommon in the ancient world. If you go into some of our parish churches, the old church in this country, you might find laid out the great table tombs of the rich. And you'll see it Stowe by Chartley as one example. You'll see one man and two women. There's one man and his two wives, of course successive wives, because the first died in childbirth. In Chirk Church, below Chirk Castle, there is a monument to one of the great family, the Middletons, who built the castle, who lived in the castle, showing a woman feeding her child, for she and the child both died soon after birth. Death and life, and new life is coming to the world. But so often, the mother would die. Blood lost in childbirth. And blood poured out. Blood is the symbol of life. The life is in the blood. And if the blood comes forth, the child comes. And there is the danger of death. Why was the new mother seen as unclean in that sense? Because the touch of death was upon her. The touch of death suggested by the blood and the very real fact that women did die in childbirth quite often. Life and death. Human life sustained by blood. The child comes forth with blood. The mystery of the blood of life and death. And here is Jesus Christ who comes into the world in this sense, the same as the rest of us, by blood. And yet he comes that he may, by his shed blood, make all clean who believe on his name. You note the emphasis in Leviticus 12 is not an emphasis on the woman being shut out, but on how she is brought into worship. She shall not touch in her uncleanness, she shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But the days of her purification shall be, by God's grace, fulfilled unless she dies first. And if she bears a male child, she shall be unclean 7 days and then 33 days. A female child, it's doubled. Not because women were seen as being any worse in any way than men, but because that female child, if she grows up, will go through the same process and will herself become a mother. And she too will repeat this until there comes a female child who shall be born and who shall be the mother of the Messiah. Mary, the mother of Christ, a woman who confessed that her spirit rejoiced in Christ, her Saviour, that she would be the mother of her own Saviour. A Jewish girl, Jewish woman like any other, humanly speaking, selected by grace alone for that office, that work that God had for her to do. This is Jesus Christ, came from her, came by water and by blood. Graciously, just as the focus here is on, in Leviticus 12, is on the grace of God, so we find in Luke chapter 2 the grace of God. Here is Simeon in the temple, Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was a prophet. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit guided him into the temple. And I doubt that he knew why he was being guided into the temple on that day. But when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. It's probable that Simeon was himself a priest. He took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Now think on that. Here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Through him all things were made. Here is the one who himself upholds all things by his power, held in the arms of an old man. What grace there is there. What condescension. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, revealing himself in his Son in this way. The incarnation. Here is he who came by blood. Here is he who took upon himself the mark of the covenant. Here is the one who came by blood to shed his blood. He died. He died. He came to die. The Lord who came to die, as the hymn writer puts it, to shed his blood that we might be cleansed altogether. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He is the Saviour who poured out his own blood in death, so that whoever by faith eats his flesh and drinks his blood is delivered from death. He who believes in me, he who lives and believes in me, he says, shall never die. And he says of those who eat his flesh and drink his blood, I will raise him up on the last day. The salvation, the blood. And thirdly, the blessing. Child, while any child is a blessing from the Lord, a gift from God, the continuation of the line, whether male or female, a boy or a girl, rejoice, a child is born, a blessing. The son bears the covenant mark, the woman, the girl, the daughter, she will bear covenant children. The grace of God and the great blessing of God comes in Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And he blesses the whole world. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he ascended in the very act of blessing his disciples. The very act of speaking words of blessing. He blesses. God, in his grace, blesses his people. He gives his gifts as blessings. Christ came to bless, not to curse. He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he comes, blessings abound where'er he reigns. The prisoner leaps to loose his chains. The weary find eternal rest. And all the sons of want are blessed, says Dr. Watts. Contemplating the glory of Christ, blessings abound where'er he reigns. Where Christ is, there are blessings. There is that great blessing, the greatest blessing of peace with God, of knowing our sins are forgiven, of knowing that that God is no longer simply the judge with whom we have to do and the king who reigns over us, but that he is our Father who is in heaven, who is indeed as a father, one who disciplines his children, but as a father, one who loves and is gracious and merciful. There is that blessing to know that the sting of death is gone. Oh yes, unless the Lord comes first, we all must pass through death, through those dark waters, as they may be. But the sting is gone, because the sting of death is sin, and Christ has overcome sin by his death. Christ has, as it were, taken the sting into himself when he died. And now he is risen again from the dead and ascended into heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, God the God-man in glory. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his steps I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. The God-man is in the glory. The God-man who has a human heart. He who was born in Bethlehem, born under the law to redeem those under the law, who has died, who has laid down his life. Blessing indeed. All blessing is caught up, bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at the teaching in Leviticus 12 on birth. And it points us to this glorious fact that Christ the Saviour is born. He was born in Bethlehem. Sing through all Jerusalem, says the hymn writer, Christ is born in Bethlehem. And so we rejoice in the birth of Jesus Christ. He was born for us. We look back. There was a day when Christ was born of Mary, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. We see again that while blood in the old covenant so often rendered unclean, the blood of Jesus Christ, he who came by blood, cleanses us from all sin. And so we see the blessing that he brings, the blessing of pardon, forgiveness, and eternal life, the blessing of a new birth, a birth that is from above, the birth that he gives, that his people may be born from above, born again, and have eternal life, and never perish because of the child who was born in Bethlehem, the Son who is given, the Christ who is for us. And so let us rejoice in the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under that law. Amen.